Case number 10213, Catherine Chambers in east of Baldwin Eagle Road, south of Basin Street, being lots 115 and 116 with a Bay Vista development. A variance from the rear yard and front yard setback requirements.
Mr. Chairman, gentlemen, Tim Willard with Fuqua and Uri, representing the applicant in this case. I have prepared just a booklet of material. Some of it's already in your file. I don't mean to concern you. I don't intend to go long. This will just make it a little easier maybe to follow it.
That'd be fine.
If I can hand it.
Sure.
There's one mark C on the top right-hand corner that designates chairman just simply because that has the original color picture.
Is your client going to testify, Mr. Willard?
She may at the very end. I'll make the presentation.
Judge, have her sworn in while he's marking those and passing them down. Name and address, please.
That's for the chairman.
That's for the chairman.
Rehoboth.
Mr. Chief Wade, just a minute, right?
Yes, should be the truth, all truth, and the
This is for the peons.
Peons, oh.
I would have printed all the pictures in color ink, but Mr. Fuqua is kind of tight in that regard. You know?
Dummy did a good job.
So,
yeah.
Gentlemen, this is a variance application for front and rear, 5.1 feet in the front and about approximately 12 feet in the rear. The property is located in the Bay Vista neighborhood. So when you're going down Route 1 and you're just about to go over the bridge for the canal, you know, most people know where Big Fish Grill is. It's that right that goes back there, and you go back that road, and Rehoboth Country Club's on the right, and there's this old neighborhood on the left called Bay Vista. The lots in there are very unique, probably because of their age. If you look at tab 1 of the exhibit you have before you, that shows you that when this subdivision was actually approved, it was 1952. And you have the subdivision lines that were approved and which actually recorded in the recorder of deeds at the time. What's significant about that? It obviously predates our code. What was intended, I'm not sure. It looks like perhaps for trailers, these lots are 25 by 100, very narrow. Most of what's happened there is you see people using two or three of the lots, and there's a lot of pre-exist or non-conforming houses on there, I think, that even predate our code. But I think that's important because these lots are unique, and therefore it sort of restrains exactly what you can do there. You'll see on tab 2 the tax map, and you'll see the site located, which is the site of the applicant. Ms. Chambers owns what's actually two lots, but now identified as one, and that's lot 27. A house existed there prior to her building the house that exists there now. It was torn down, and the house that exists there now was built. She got a temporary CO to live there, but at that time, if you turn to tab 3, the time of applying for the CO, they said, wait a second, you need variances. And if you turn to tab 3, I'll explain the reasons for the need of the variances. I'm going to just talk about the front variance first. If you're on tab 3, that's the survey and the site application. You'll see at the very top of the page there's Basin Road, and the setback line is 30 feet. And what the planning office indicated to the applicant is they need a 5.1-foot variance to meet the 30-foot variance. And that's what they're applying for you today. It's interesting to note, Mears, to give you the background, Rubino's built the house. Mear Stone did the survey work. They got a building permit to do it with the dimensions of 28 by 40. Okay, they don't place the building when you get the building permit. So then Mear Stone goes in, cites it, and then they build the house. I've contacted them and talked to them and haven't gotten a really good explanation of what happened, but I think this is what happened. As you can see the setback line in there, the little hash line, they got 30 foot in the front and 10 in the back. And it's interesting to note that this whole neighborhood surrounded by MR, which is, I think, 30 or 30-10. And I think that's how they came up with the 10 in the back. And As you know, your law, you're well aware of your law, you're allowed to go 5 foot into the setback for an open staircase or a deck, no more than 5 feet. And I think that's what they did, albeit the point one. This is the only explanation. It's not an excuse. I think that's what they did. I wasn't involved when my client applied for a variance, but it's certainly very important that they get this for the liquidity of the property. In any event, so the variance we're asking for in the front is the 5.1 feet, and that simply is for a staircase and a landing that does not exceed to the first level. So I just raised that with some question as to whether it's necessary. But it also goes, I think, to the fact that it's not overly intrusive and it's a pretty minimal. If you would turn to tab 4, just keeping in mind the front variance we're asking for, you see the elevation, side elevation of the building, just to give you some idea of where that 5 feet would go. If you see where the line crosses, the 30 feet crosses, it's just right next to that first landing. So it's really just the staircase and a little bit of the stairs. If you turn to tab 5, you'll see that's the front of the house. And I think what's significant about tab 5 is simply that it doesn't adversely affect the neighboring properties. In fact, and I can't with any numbers argue to you that the average, if you take the average of what's on the block within 300 feet, gives them that 24, that extra. But what's pretty clear, and I visited the site this Wednesday, is the house to the left and the right are right in line. And I'm not talking about a porch or a staircase. It's the front wall. And that's what that picture demonstrates, picture 2 in tab 5. You can see where the stair is. So we're just asking for that staircase. And really, the house next door is all the way up to that line, it appears to me. Picture 3 in tab 5 shows you looking the other way. So that's the house. And I have to admit that it looks like it's sticking out more than it is because I gave it a little angle, but it's pretty on line with it. I tried maybe too late to see what the footprint of the house looked like. I was told that the footprint of the house that was torn down, the front of the house, the door, was about where the stairs begin. We're not making an argument that we don't need a variance. I just pointed out to you that I think it goes to the argument of the disturbing the character of the neighborhood, because we're actually lessening it in some respects. If you turn to the very last tab, and I apologize for jumping around, that's an aerial view, and right to the right of that black arrow is actually the house that existed there prior to this house being built. And again, it's not very technical, but you can see that the house to the right and the left are pretty much on line with it, and they're both, and I can't say for certainty, less than 30 feet, but you know what's there based on these pictures. So what was replaced is actually in the front somewhat less intrusive than what was there before. So for all those reasons, we believe the uniqueness of the property, that is, the lot's very small, it predated the code, it doesn't adversely affect or change the essential neighborhood of the character. Whether it was built on the footprint or whether you even need it because it's non-covered, I think is moot because we'd like to get it. Now, if I could turn to the rear, some of the same arguments and facts apply. That is, the lot is unique because it's the same lot and it's narrow. You'll see in the rear of the property, the surveyor has indicated a 10-foot setback. And talking to the builder, they rely on them. I have no explanation for that, and I didn't get a good one from the engineer in this case. Again, it may have been the footprint. Again, it may have been that the place is surrounded by MR. It may be the fact that this subdivision looks like it was designed for a GR kind of subdivision, 1952, with these 25 by 100 lots, but that's not an excuse at all. I think, you know, it is AR1, and they do call for a 20-foot setback. So if you take the 20-foot setback, what the applicant is asking for you for there is a 12.2-foot setback for the stairs and the back porch, which is actually has a roof on it. If it was 10 feet, they'd just be into the stairs, and I think the same excuse would apply that I'm not sure they'd need one. Clearly, they need one if it's 20 feet and you got a roofed porch. And likewise, the essential character of the neighborhood, I don't believe, is upset by any means. If you look at tab 6, these are pictures of the rear of the property. Picture 1 in tab 6 shows you, on the left, the back porch, which has, it's actually all open underneath and has a second floor porch that's screened. That shows you what's in the adjacent property to the left. I say to the left, I'm not going to give you north, south, because I don't know. But if you're looking in the back of the property, it's to the left. You can see two things. One, there's zero lot line on that house, and I didn't research it. It probably predates. I don't know. And then you see on the property in the backyard, there's also zero lot line on that shed or that little cottage back there. And you see their yard. If you look to the other side of the property, there's absolutely no setback on the outbuilding on the border of their property. And on the property's main house, where there's a porch and the main house, it intrudes a lot further into the back where they're just asking for a porch, albeit covered. And again, on picture 3, you can see that looking down on the neighboring property that their porch would parallel their other porch with part of their main house. And pictures 4 and 5 of tab 6 also show you what the view from their side backyard looks like, simply to demonstrate that these outbuilding, this other building, are already right in it. I don't know if anybody else is here involving this. It obviously would be cost some money to tear down that porch or make it 12 feet. It wouldn't be practical. These lots are so small. What in this case they did is they got a townhouse design and, for expensive reasons, tried to retrofit it, you know, use the design, the constructions, and place it on there, which did not have a back porch. And I think the designs that were submitted to the building office had the dimensions of the back porch and had all the dimensions, but they weren't placed. So once they were placed, it was on there with these extensions. I've already told you why I think Mearstone thought it was okay. Mm-hmm. They had a 10-foot, and they had the stairs not closed exception. My client is very anxious to get the variance for all the reasons stated. It doesn't really, we believe, adversely affect the neighborhood, the essential character of it, mm-hmm. and it would cause a hardship for her to have to deal with it, quite frankly, and not be able to use her property with a back porch, which I think in this beach area is maybe not essential, but some would argue a necessity. So, if you don't have any questions from me, I'd like to call Ms. Chambers up just to confirm that my representations were correct for the record.
Any of the members have questions for the council?
Not me.
Can you call Mrs. Chambers up?
Chambers, you've heard my representations to the Board of Adjustments. Are they true and correct to the best of your belief?
Yes.
I've actually prepared a finding of facts that I don't know if Mr. Burrell wants it, it based on what I expected to be presented. I'll give it to him for his.
Yep. Give him to Mr. Rickard.
All right. That's all we have.
Okay. Are there any further questions from members of the board?
Chairman, for the board's information, there are many variances granted in there, lot 21, 23, 24.2, 29, 28, next door, 39. Typical Bay Vista. They build to the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
They need a variance. It's typical. And AR1, undersized lot. Got a 15 on the sides, 10. Normal front setback to 30, and 20 in the rear, which throws them all off normally.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay, Mr. Workman?
No.
Mr. Hudson? Mr. Mills?
No.
Okay, hearing no further questions. Are there any persons here that is in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application?
Mr. Chairman, I have a person that's in the opposition. His name is O-Z-O-R-O-S-K-I, Joseph. He's at 3rd Street in Bay Vista. And he said he is a builder. And he said that they knew this well before the framing was even started, that they were encroaching into the setback.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excuse me. Hearing no other opposition, chair will entertain a motion.
Oh, excuse me, one more. Oh, sorry.
Granted a lot of these in that area.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that we take case number 10213 under advisement.
Okay, do we have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. McCabe and a second by Mr. Workman that we take case number 10213 under advisement. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Your case has been taken under advisement. What that means, there may be a decision made later on this evening. You could stay if you would like, or you may call the office in the morning.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Case number.